Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Indianapolis is Mike Morgan. Mike is a partner at Corsica Partners and has a deep background in compliance, having worked in global ethics and compliance roles for Lilly and Elanco. Mike, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Thanks, Adam. It's my pleasure.
So we're going to be talking today about working with business leaders around the globe. And it's actually a conversation that the two of us began back at the 2018 Compliance and Ethics Institute after we met and started chatting in the exhibit hall. So Mike, let's start with a basic question. First, how do you get at the seat at the table? And I don't mean a seat at the far end where no one pays attention to you unless you raise your hand and say, wait a minute, but right in the center of things.
Yeah, thanks, Adam. That's a great question. And, you know, kind of your intro question reminds me a little bit of, we've just come through the holiday season, and I kind of think about, we have a very big family, and I think about, are we at the adult table or are we off in the kids' table in the other room? Hmm. And as ethics and compliance professionals, sometimes it can be tough to not only be at that adult table or be right around the executive leadership table, but really making a difference at that table. So when I think about how do we get there, there are a lot of ways. That can happen through structure, the way the organization is structured, and if ethics and compliance is part of the executive team, you've got a natural place there. Sometimes you may be represented through another function, such as the legal function, but I think the key thing is really not whether or not you're at the table. The key thing is what kind of influence do you have through that table? And I would say the first thing is metrics matter. And one of the business leaders I worked with, really bright guy, once said to me, Mike, if it's not something that gets measured, then we're not going to be discussing it. It won't matter. And so I think it's really important as E&C professionals to think about what are the couple of metrics that the business people are going to be interested in a regular basis. Is that about investigations? Is that about a problem that's recently been solved through some really good corrective actions or preventive actions? What is it? What are those measures that you're going to want to have not only at the executive table, but you're going to want that a level or two down into the organization? So it has to become something, Adam, as important as sales measures, market share. It has to be sort of the language of the business. And I think as ethics and compliance professionals, the business needs to feel that we care as much or more about the business and how it functions rather than just our own function. So I would encourage us to be very thoughtful. It can be different from situation to situation, time to time, but we've got to have some metrics that matter at the different levels of the organization. And really, ethics and compliance measures and business measures are really interrelated. If the business is running well, high likelihood that ethics and compliance is running well and vice versa. So I think the key points in terms of the seat at the table are you really must get there by being an ethics and compliance expert. And then over time, you really need to develop into being a business expert. The business will listen and care not only about your ethics and compliance expertise, but also about how much you care about their business measures.
Yeah, then I think that all goes back to just the off-said points that, you know, you've got to be seen as an enabler of the business. Obviously, you know, creating limits where they're necessary, but the more you can speak and understand things from their perspective, the better off you are. You know, and the more likely you are to sit at the adult table. Once you're there at the table, it's great, but you still have to maintain at the same time a little bit of distance. You know, you want to be helping the business, but you don't want to get so caught up in achieving the goal that you start losing perspective and swept away with enthusiasm. How do you make sure you maintain that distance to have a critical perspective?
I think it really comes back to business measures, but you really do, you need to do all the basic things that you would do in any social interaction. You've got to go out to lunch, grab a coffee. You've got to be very socially aware of what's going on. You need to be in the places where the business is being run. You need to be out in the sales field if that's a key area of risk. But again, you want to get close, but not so close where there's where you start to lose your objectivity. Being objective as ethics and compliance professionals is really critical, but we do need to maintain a balance. There will be obviously sensitive topics, investigations, things of that nature, where we need to maintain our independence as ethics and compliance professionals. But I think one of the ways to really get after that social distance is first know yourself. Who are you as a person? You don't need to be anything other than who you are. I've seen ethics and compliance professionals with all different sorts of personal styles and approaches. If you're a leader of ethics and compliance professionals, you really need to know your team, and you really need to get to know your executive team or board, depending on what level we're talking about. Many, many companies use lots of different tools in terms of getting to know yourself, getting to know other people, strength finders, insights, all kinds of other assessment tools. And I would strongly suggest that you use those tools that exist within your own company and really have an all good mentality. So if the sales force happens to use insights to get to know things about themselves and about their customers, same thing can apply with your ethics and compliance team. I would also highly encourage, we talk a lot about diversity and inclusion in today's day and age, and that's really critical. I would encourage every team to be highly diverse, because you're more likely to connect with all the teams across the globe, and to have much more variety in terms of approaches and insights. And so again, being yourself, start with that, but I would encourage a continuous learning mentality, a curiosity to continually learn more about people and use the tools inside the company to really understand more about people. That way then you can get that closeness to people, you can have that understanding of other people and be more effective as an ethics and compliance officer.
Well, yeah, and we are in the human behavior business, and the more we can understand how people are, the better off, you know, we can be in terms of affecting their behavior. And likewise, I think, you know, taking a more sort of studied approach does also encourage to keep a little bit of distance from, you know, the people at the same time. So beyond being at the table with the business people, it's important to have relationships with other departments in the organization. What do you find works most effectively?
Well, I think one of the important things in terms of connecting with other people, again, goes back to how much do you understand really everything about it, Adam. So even when you think about the language of the industry, the language of different geographies and divisions, understanding how to communicate at a very basic level is really important. So for example, the first 30-minute meeting that I had with one executive leader, they asked me, hey, so tell me a little bit more about ethics and compliance, Mike. And so I started to go into seven elements, and they immediately said, oh, wait a second, I don't have 30 minutes, I only have 5 minutes. And I quickly learned that in that particular business, the executives talked in threes. Tell me what, so what, and what are we gonna do now, or now what? And so I think it's really important to understand literally the language of the business and the acronyms to really be an effective ethics and compliance professional. And that will cut across functions. But I also think there's a lot of different ways that by working with different functions, we as ethics and compliance professionals can learn more about the interests of those different functions and leverage and apply. So let me give a few examples, Adam. One of the things that we did at Lilly was we worked closely with our IT department because we wanted to develop a global tracking system for ethics and compliance measures so that our chief compliance officer could relatively instantaneously know what the status of the program was on a global basis. So that brought the ethics and compliance function, the IT group, closer together. Other things, clearly our marketing and training professionals are constantly studying what are the best ways to have an impact either internally or externally. So same thing, we need to be able to apply those skills in ethics and compliance training. So developing relationships with our marketing and training people can help us use the latest tools to position our messages and connect with other people. I've also found working very closely with selling parts of the organization, whether they use value-based selling, benefit selling, whatever their approach to customers is, it's you're much more highly likely to be able to connect with the sales organization when you understand how they're trying to connect with customers. So one of the key things in terms of connecting cross-functionally is taking a genuine interest in the skills, the techniques that they are using to execute their job, and then reflect on that and think about how could I or should I use those skills internally from an ethics and compliance perspective. So by showing genuine interest in their skills, their latest tactics and techniques, it's a great way to improve your ethics and compliance program. At the same time, you're connecting cross-functionally with other key leaders.
Now, one last question, and we've talked about it a bit already, is, you know, for those of us in compliance, it's a common restraint that it's a common refrain that we want to be seen as approachable. And that's not always the case. There's a lot of people who are just very hesitant to talk to compliance. What does it take to truly get to the point where people are comfortable coming forward?
Two things I would say on that one, Adam. First is just to understand that social awkwardness, that can happen. I used to joke that when I moved into ethics and compliance, it was from being a sales director. So people would call me Mike when I was a sales director. And then as soon as I was asked to become a compliance officer, I lost my first name. And people didn't call me Mike anymore. Now they called me compliance. So one of the things is just be comfortable. Just realize that we are in very important roles. And so people can literally change from one day to the next in terms of how they respond to you. So just relax about that and be prepared for that. And then the second thing is, this is a high contact job. This is not a job where it is ideally suited to people who like to stay closed in their office. I basically would love to say we all ought to buy Fitbits for ourselves and our team members and see who gets the most steps in on a daily basis, Adam, because I think really having that out there with the business mentality is really how you're going to connect. It's how you're going to show that you care. It's going to make yourself approachable, available. So really being out there, and whether it's with a fitness tracker or some other way to make sure that your people are up or moving, it's not only good for you physically, it's also good for your ethics and compliance program. And I used to be a big fan of the TV show The X-Files, and I would always say, hey, the truth is out there. So, and so must you and your team be as ethics and compliance professionals, because that's really where the opportunities to help the organization are, is when you're out there with the people conducting the business.
Well, I to say it's great practical advice, and I think it's an interesting concept of sort of the ethics and compliance officer's ongoing Fitbit needs in terms of making themselves much more useful and more present for the business. Well, I won't call you compliance. I'll call you Mike and say thank you, Mike, for taking the time to talk to us today. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.